Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome again to and happy Mother's Day to all of the moms. Our message today is titled Women of Faith. And we're going to actually get right into this. We know that you guys have things to do. You're going to visit your moms, and that's as it should be. But we just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you who are mothers here or someday will be mothers. And we also want to acknowledge mothers who are in heaven today. And if I can say this, I just want to say that if your mom's in heaven today, she's glad you're in church today. She's glad you're still in church today. And I know this to be true. And, you know, moms are one of the first gifts that you ever receive in this life is the gift of a mother. That's the first person that's ever carried you, that's ever held you, was your mother. And, you know, the Bible has much to say about mothers and the gift of a mother's. But I want to begin by saying this, that mothers are givers and preservers of life also. And we're going to get into some of this, and we're going to talk about women of the Bible. But I've had people tell me before, and you've heard me say this on Father's Day, I can remember a young man telling me, you know, I had such a terrible example for a father. He was not a good father. He was what you would call a deadbeat father or a loser father. And I said to him, that can never be your excuse. Maybe you didn't have the best example of a father, but that will not prevent you from becoming a good father. That should drive you on to be who God called you to be. The same is true with mothers, and I'm going to read you a verse in Isaiah, that's Isaiah 49 and 15, that says, is it possible that an actual mother would forsake her baby or the little child that she gave birth to? And then there is a pause there, and it says, even if she does forget, I will not forget you, because I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. My walls are ever before you. And I believe that he's engraved us with nails on the palms of his hand. Before I hand this to Pastor Ken, I'm going to tell you a little bit real quickly about how I believe that mothers are not just givers of life. It doesn't stop there, does it? Any of you who think that have lost your minds. When you give birth, it doesn't say, well, I gave you life, and so that's it. I've heard people say things like, I gave you life, I can take you out. Not true. But jokes of mothers. But mothers are preservers of life. And I read so many stories last night in the night about how mothers would just have this supernatural surge from God to protect their children. That's an instinct of a mother. And there was a story, Ken, about this little boy. He was 5 years old. His name was Simon Manning. And him and his mom were actually hiking in the state of Washington in one of the national parks when a cougar came and grabbed the little boy by his neck, by the face. And the mother, without even thinking, she had a water bottle, she began to beat him, that cougar, mercilessly. Mercilessly to beat him and scream. She said, I don't know where that kind of a scream even came from. And she continued to beat and beat and beat until he dropped her child and let go. And he ran from her. That mother was more fierce than a cougar. You know what? Here's the analogy to that. Are you willing to save your child from Satan, who comes about as a roaring lion? Are you willing to snatch your child out of the lion's mouth? There are so many like that. There's one more story, and I'm going to hand this to Pastor Ken. There was a 13-year-old girl, and this is not long ago, in the state of Florida, in a grocery store with her mom, and right in front of everybody, with nobody intervening, this little 13-year-old girl was being drug away by an abductor. Not gonna happen. That mom, they said the video footage of that was like a 300-pound man was beating that man. I mean, she beat him so bad that he finally got up and ran. That's, you know what that is? That's the power of a mother's love to save her child. And friends, we're trying to save our children from hell.
Well, welcome to Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day to my mother. I really enjoyed the worship today. Thank you so much, worship team. I've got to comment on that song. There's no wall he won't kick down coming after me. There's no lie he won't tear down coming after me. That is saying God is trying to get to you. But what if we sang that same song back to God? God, there's no wall I won't kick down to get to you. There's no lie I won't tear down to get to you. I've been thinking a lot about the kingdom of God, that it's so much more brilliant, so much more beautiful, so much more love. As Pastor Bartleman used to say, God isn't holy, he's holy, holy, holy. And so I was thinking about just the principles that God has established, and that we can't be part-time Christians. We can't say, well, we can't just add God onto our life. It's a pursuit that God, I'm pursuing you. I was reading, scientific facts just amaze me because they're God facts. If you looked at your thumb, in the last second, just the last second, 1 second, approximately 500 billion neutrinos went through your thumb. That's amazing. 500 billion neutrinos just went through your thumb. And you could do the math for the rest of your body. And that's 24 hours a day. They come from the sun. They're so small that even when the sun is on the other side of the earth, when it's completely dark out, these things are going through the earth and then going through your thumb. That's how small they are. The kingdom of God is so much greater and bigger and amazing than anything that we could imagine, the things that's going on in the world. So one more thing, and then I'll get to the Mother's Day part of the sermon. I was thinking about how math is, nobody invents math. You discover math, right? You discover the principles of math. You don't invent math. You discover what's there. And although God's math can be very complicated, and some of the equations of the universe are very complicated, I want you to look at the most simple math principle that exists. And that's the first thing you learn is how to add things. 2 + 3 = 5. And there's a principle called the commutative property of addition. And it means this. 2 + 3 = 3 + 2. It does not matter what order you add things up in, you get the same amount. You got that? So if you're adding up 10 things, it doesn't matter what order you start with. So Frida, me and you are talking about doing I am weak, but thou art strong. Just a closer walk with thee. Me and Frida were talking about that last week. I am weak, but thou art strong. That's the principle of addition, that it doesn't matter which order you add things up in. My strength is like a 1 out of 100. I know that. But his strength out of 100 is like 1,000,000. He's like off the chart. When you add me and God, you get full strength, full power, full love. But if I just have me, myself, and I, there's nothing there to add on to. So the other reason that I am weak but thou art strong is a powerful statement. It is eliminating pride from our life. I need God. And the Bible says that when we bow down and admit our dependence upon him. And you know, there's times in our life that we think we don't need God. I'm sure 100 years ago, there was a man somewhere that was the strongest man on the planet. He's gone now. But he was the strongest man. How could he be gone? Because every strong man, every strong woman, I don't care how rich you are, I don't care how young you are, I don't care how healthy you are, you need God. And eventually, the strongest of the strong that doctors will say there is nothing more. We need God. We need God. We're pursuing God. We're seeking God. And I'll say this last thing before I move on. How hard life can be. You can say amen. You can say oh me. But I'll tell you this about how hard life can be. As iron sharpens iron, if life wasn't hard, if life wasn't difficult, you wouldn't need to trust in God. You wouldn't need a shepherd. And so whether we think we do or not, we do. We need a shepherd. And I want to pursue that shepherd. I want to pursue God the same way that he pursues us. All right, let's begin talking about, that was my introduction. So moms, so Pam, who's the oldest living mom in heaven? Who's that? It's got to be Eve, the mother of all things. So we're going to start by giving honor to women, and you know, someday we're going to get to meet Eve, which is amazing, the ultimate grandmother. And you got to ask yourself, where would we even be without Eve? And still in the garden is the answer. No, totally kidding, because it seems like every human being, by the way, if you ever throw that at Eve, why did you do that? She's got your records too. Oh, you want to talk about sin, do you? So yeah, no one can throw stones at anyone. But so the women in the Bible, they were kingdom women. They were amazing women. They were not perfect, but they showed incredible courage. They showed incredible strength. They were willing to risk their own life time and time again. Time and time again, of course, God used wonderful men of the Bible. But there are so many examples when the rubber met the road and God really needed a messenger. How many times did he turn to a young woman and said, you will be my torchbearer. You'll be the one that goes and tells people that Jesus is alive. You'll be the one through whom the glory of God comes. I mean, think about, you know, we sometimes have the mistake of writing off younger people. But think how young Mary was. What was she, Pam, 17? She's about 17 years old, and she was the one that God chose. And boy, you say, well, what did she have to do? She was pregnant. She had a child. She had such a tough time. The people that were looking at her, the people that were accusing her, but it wasn't just that. She had to watch Jesus grow up. She had to watch the nails be put in his hands. She had to watch the whip. She was there. Luke 1 says, and the angel came into her and said, thou art hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So she was favored of God, and she is blessed. And I like to remember that Mary carried in her body Jesus Christ. And that's the plan now, is that we carry in our spirit, in our mind, in our body, the life of Jesus Christ, that we can share it. So when Mary gets the news that God wants to use her, she probably reacts like we do. I mean, we can say all day long, God wants to use you. And you go, yeah, God wants to use me. But it's true. I mean, when Mary found that out, she was like, me? Why me? Who am I? And of course, she gets all kinds of information being unmarried, and she has this assignment. And if God gives you an assignment, that's all you need to know. All you need to know is God said go, and then you go. You don't have to ask who will meet me and what's going to happen and how's it going to work. If God tells you to do something, we need just to walk in faith. The thing about Mary, what made her such a woman of faith? It's such a small thing. She said yes. So often, the people that God uses are just the ones that say, look, I can't sing, I can't play, I can't dance, I'm not anointed, I don't have anything special. But if you need just a water bottle, God, I can be that for you. God uses ordinary people. He uses ordinary fishermen. And Mary said yes.
You know, I think that's one of the most wonderful things that any mother can do is say yes, especially in this day and time when we hear about women having all kinds of options that are really not. When you see that people turn away from their children, that is someone saying no to the assignment that God has given them, because that's your assignment. Your children belong to you. And I think it's wonderful that she said yes. And there always is a cost. You know, I'm going to tell you this. It wasn't easy for Jesus to hang on the cross, and it wasn't easy for your mom to go through 9 months of a pregnancy, to have a labor that may or may not have been difficult, easy, what. But I can tell you, even if the labor was a cakewalk, raising you wasn't easy. You know, I'm pretty sure we're definitely not going to ask our mom that question, Ken and I. Definitely not. Was it easy? We don't want to know. No, we already know. But it wasn't easy for your mom either. But without mothers, there would be no calling on your life at all, because there would be no you, right? If your mother had not said yes to God, there would be nothing. You would not be here in these chairs today. There would be one more empty chair because your mother didn't say yes. And I'm so thankful for that. But I think something, I found something that I thought was kind of humorous in the Bible regarding Mary. Mary knew, she said yes, knowing full well the cost, that I am an unmarried young woman here. You know, God, do you understand this? Do you get that I don't have a husband? Do you know what kind of society I live in today? They stone people like me if I'm pregnant. You know that, right, God? But she said yes to God anyway. And she's also, in my opinion, I see that she's the first woman who basically almost got a divorce before she ever got married. She almost got a divorce. Joseph said, well, I'm going to have to get rid of this woman. He had already committed to her. So here she is going through pretty much a divorce, you know, before she even has a chance to get married, have a child. But we know that God intervened in that situation. So go ahead and say yes to whatever assignment God gives you, even if, and I've told this to many young women who found themselves in an unfortunate pregnancy, just go ahead, hold your head high, and let God be your defender, because you've done something very right in making a decision to carry this child and to move forward with this, because it's a God thing. Because the Bible tells us that you are to choose life, that I have set before you blessings and cursings, life and death. But then the word said, God says, you're going to get the choice, but I'm telling you what to choose. I tell you to choose life. So to all the mothers, I'm so proud of you that you did exactly that. But in the situation of Mary, there was actually another young woman who was her cousin who was involved in this whole thing. And this woman was an older woman, and her husband had been, she was a senior mom. Here we have a teen mom, and then we have a cousin who's a senior mom. If being a young mom is hard, let me help you out here. Being an older mom, a senior mom, is harder. And so here we have Elizabeth, and they were praying for a child. Mary wasn't praying for a child, but they were praying for a child. And the name Elizabeth means unfruitful. Let me tell you something. That's pretty painful in itself. But they desired a child. The same angel that appeared to Mary, you know, this tells me something. The same God that's giving out assignments to young women is giving out assignments to older women too. And maybe the same assignment. Maybe you're sitting out here thinking, I'm too old to do what the young person is doing. Maybe you are, but maybe you're not. Maybe God was going to give this same assignment to an older woman. And he did. And so the angel came and talked to Zacharias while Zacharias in church. The angel talked to Mary in her house, by the way. Then he talked to Zachariah at church. You can have a God encounter wherever you're at. So he talks to Zachariah, and Zachariah, the angel says, fear not, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. And then we know that Zacharias doubted. You have this big angel telling you your prayer has heard, Elizabeth's going to bear a son, and Zacharias says, I don't think so. But wait a minute, Zacharias, you prayed for that, didn't you? Oh, wow, he really didn't believe, did he? He just prayed. But God heard that prayer, and God answered that prayer. And so I love that God uses men, and he uses women, young and old alike. He is no respecter of persons. So our job today is to just say yes to God. And he's no respecter of age or gender. So if someone tells you that a woman can't do this or that, or a man can't do that, think again. It's a lie.
So all things are possible with God. So Debbie used this Sunday night. Let me see if I can grab this. So I'm holding in my right hand thousands and thousands and thousands of tomatoes. Right here. Say, how? That's not possible. Well, there's a pitcher of tomato. You might say, you're holding a pitcher of a tomato, but you're not actually holding thousands. No, I'm actually holding, you know what's in here? Seeds. But the thing about this is, we could leave this right up here for months and months and months. We could come back next year and say, how's the tomatoes coming? We understand the miracle of faith and planting seeds. It's activating what's already in there. And how do you activate a seed? You expose it to water and you expose it to light. The water is the word of God. That as you read the word, it's called the washing of the water. The sun is the S-O-N. As we are exposed to the, not the sunlight, but the sunlight who is bright, those seeds, and I'm talking about not tomatoes now, although I could use a good tomato. It's a miracle that inside of this little tiny seed is instructions that you, and I said thousands of plants. Obviously, there's probably only 10 to 12 plants here, but these seeds will produce other seeds, which will produce, we could fill the world with tomatoes starting with this if we wanted to. That's God's principles. And by the way, Jesus used that illustration all the time, that the word of God is like a farmer that's planting. And I heard this one time. When we pray a prayer of faith, when you plant a seed, the farmer doesn't go out at 3 in the morning and dig up the seed and see how it's doing. You plant the seed, you put water on it and put sun on it, and you leave it alone. It's going to do its own job. So the word, I'm telling you, the word of God is working in you, but you have to make sure you've activated your faith. So anything is possible with God. So we're going to look at Jochebed. Am I pronouncing that right? Jochebed. Now, we talked about Mary being the mother of Jesus and that they were trying to kill all the male children. Jochebed is the mother of Moses. And guess what? She found herself in the same situation. They were going to kill all the male children. And so she was incredibly brave, incredibly trust of God to be able to give up her child, incredibly wise. What are you going to do there? Where am I going to hide my child? Why don't we hide him right in Pharaoh's arms? Let's put this child right in the palace where he'll see the child every day. He's not going to kill that child. So she was incredibly wise. She was incredibly brave. And unlike Esther, who risked her life, she didn't have a king that was favorable towards her and loved her. The Pharaoh was cruel. The Pharaoh was mean. But God had better plans. And of course, we know that Moses was saved because of that. We also have in that same story of saving Moses' life, two other women, and let me get their names, Shipra and Shapra. They were a comedy team back in the day. Come see Shipra and Shapra. And these two women refused to obey the orders of Pharaoh. They risked their careers. They risked their life. And here's the interesting thing about this story. Pharaoh was concerned about a male, and he should have been concerned about all these women around that were just, you know, manipulating him to pay for Moses' education, you know, to pay for Moses to have all these amazing things. And we know that there's amazing women that are become presidents of countries and vice presidents of countries and CEOs, but that's not what impresses me. The fact that women can become anointed of God just by choosing that, just by wanting that. Catherine Coleman, whom we grew up watching. How many of you watched Catherine Coleman? How many of you know who we're talking about? So, she was just so unusual. She was just this woman that she wasn't a great teacher. What was the reason people watched her? I used to like to just watch her to watch the anointing on her. Does that make sense? I wasn't watching her because she was teaching me something that I would go, well, I never saw that in the Bible. I was watching her because she was flowing in the Spirit. What set her apart, in my opinion, and Pam can weigh in on this, is her love for God. That it looked, she just loved God. And I don't believe that she was specially called out and chosen. I believe she was just a woman who decided she loved God and was pursuing God, and God just honored that and anointed her. And her ministry was so simple. All she said was this, and y'all know this, but it's powerful. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. That was the theme. If you believe in God, you have to believe in miracles. And she would then, week after week, put that to the test and put her faith on the line. But mostly, as she would flow in the Spirit, I would see that anointing on her life. And that same anointing can be on every one of our lives, too.
I think there is a reason that a lot of times that God chooses to use women sometimes in situations. And I think one of those reasons, as I see it in the Bible, is sometimes the enemy doesn't expect it, like that cougar probably didn't expect the woman to come after him. You know, there are so many cases of that, like Haman up against Esther. You would think Haman had the upper hand, but he did not. Esther had the upper hand. She was wise, and she knew exactly what she was doing because she was following all of her life. She had been taught by Mordecai, and Mordecai represents the Holy Spirit whispering in our ear in our life. Mordecai was constantly telling her, now don't reveal your genetics, who you are, where you come from. In other words, don't give too much information about yourself. We can give the enemy too much information about ourselves, can't we? And so Mordecai was constantly whispering in her ear saying, do this, now don't do that. Now it's your time to stand up. And you were born for this, Esther. You were born. More than that, he said, actually his words were not, you were born. People say, you were born for such a time as this. That's not true. It says, you've come into the kingdom for such a time like this. It's not good enough to be born. That's not going to advance the kingdom of God. You got to be serving God in the kingdom. And so he said, who knows but that you are not in the kingdom for such a time as this. And you know, so many times God can use a woman, and they're especially with their heart for other people. I'm not saying men don't have that. Don't, you know, go away and say that. But God uses men and women together as teams, as a husband and wife, but also I see that God uses older women and younger women together. You're never going to be able to say, well, you're too old to be used or you're too young to be used, because I love, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and I've taught on it, is Ruth, but I learned so much from this woman, Naomi, that was so broken, and so she said, just call me bitter. You know, the hand of God has went out against me, which really was not the truth. God was always with her, but the life choices that she and her husband made were not godly life choices. And when she was in Moab, when they were in Moab, you know, I've said this before, I can imagine her heartbreak that she loses her husband and her two sons. The only thing you see in your backyard are three graves. Here's the grave of my husband. Here's the grave of my two sons. I have nothing that I came to this place with. If you walk away from God, you're going to lose everything. And so she lost everything but had these two daughter-in-laws. But her decision was just impressed me so much. You know what? I need to go back to church. I need to go back to where I began. I need to go back to God, is what she said, to God. And so this girl, this young girl, decided, Naomi must have been, I want you to think about this for a minute. She must have been the most godly example in how she lived for this girl to see something in her that she would go in blind faith. And this woman told, Naomi told these girls four times, go back, go back, go back to your people, go back to your gods even. She was offering them the choice. But, of course, you know what I know, that she was telling them to go back because Naomi did not want to come into Bethlehem, Judah with this baggage of these girls. and people would know what happened in Moab, that your sons married daughters. So she's telling them, go back. And Ruth is like, from what you talked about your God, I ain't going back. There ain't nothing back there for me either. I'm going with you. And you know the history. You know who Ruth is, a great, 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 great. How many greats are you saying here? But I'm so thankful for the decision they made. And I'm so thankful the statement that she said in Ruth 1:16, your people are going to be my people, and your God will be my God. And there's nothing but death that's ever going to part us one from another. Oh, that we would make that commitment to each other. Oh, that we could make that commitment to each other. People come and people go. But what about the people who say, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Nothing but death. We're on this journey together. We're going all the way. I'm not looking for a husband. Because watch this. Naomi told Ruth, you're probably not going to be able to get married because no one there is going to marry you. She wasn't looking for a husband. Her husband was dead. She was looking for God. And if you look for God, you get everything. She got everything. She was working in the field, the gleaners. Do you realize that that was Israel's welfare program? That she was not just working as a gleaner. She wasn't even a gleaner. She was behind the gleaners. She was less than welfare. And one day she woke up and Boaz was her husband and she owned the entire field.
And they were given instructions to make sure that she may have been the gleaner behind the gleaner, but those guys were dropping the biggest tomatoes and stuff for her. And she's like, oh, these are amazing. She was cleaning up. And that's a signal that even if you feel poor, God will drop things right in your path. He'll drop blessings and you go, where'd that come from? Which is kind of cool. And it's also cool that she turned Boaz's head. Yes. That Boaz noticed, or Jesus notices.
Jesus is our Boaz.
And I kind of like you talking about, your God will be my God. I'm just going to keep following you around. God likes that kind of tenacity. Yes. You just keep following him around. The angel grabs hold of you to wrestle you, and you're like, and he's like, let me go now. And you're like, no. And the angel says, let me go. And you're like, no. Right, you're like wrestling with God, and you wrestle all night. You're like, I'm not letting go of God. You're like Elijah following around Elisha, if you're there. So I'm just going to follow you around here. Why don't you go get some breakfast? No, I'm right here. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to keep following you around. And Pam just said something that is shocking. It really ought to hit home for everyone. She said just now, if you walk away from God, you lose everything. If you walk away from God, you lose everything. There's a scripture in the Bible. I didn't look it up, so I don't have the reference. But basically it says, if you turn away from God, your former righteousness will not help you. Doesn't matter how righteous you were, how many times you preached, if you turn away from God, but it goes on to say something else. So I'll give you the whole thought. If you turn away from God, your former righteousness will not help you. But if you turn to God, your former sin will not be held against you. What a great thought. The saddest people in hell are those that spent their life in church. That they knew about the cross and they knew about the resurrection and they knew about the love of God. Have you ever been, you don't have to raise your hand, but you can just be honest with yourself. Have you ever been jealous of Esther because she was a queen? I mean, we like stories of powerful queens, but this real story, the modern story is Diana. Did she grow up when she was born? Did the newspaper say Diana's been born? When she was 4 years old, were the photographers following her around and saying, this is Diana? No. You know why? She was a commoner. And that's why I think the world loved people like Pam. Probably saw the wedding and stuff. I didn't care two beans about it, but I knew so many people did, they follow this story. But what made it amazing is because she was a commoner. It's not a story if she was born into royalty. It's expected. It's when you are nobody. And the reason I ask you the question about have you ever been jealous of Esther, you're thinking, oh, she was the queen. But she wasn't the queen. She was nobody. She was Jewish. As a matter of fact, Haman was trying to kill all the Jewish people. Of course, she was so clever talking about an opponent. Haman met his match because she invites Haman to dinner, and Haman's thinking, man, I'm in the inside circle. I'm with the queen. I'm with the king. I am really doing well. And she says, you know, king, there's someone that's trying to kill me and kill my family and kill everybody. And he's like, who is it? He's like, oh, it's that guy right there sitting with us. He's right there. Hey, Haman, how you doing? So the reason that I wanted to bring that up is that your story and Esther's story is the same. That she married the king. You are the bride of Christ. You are the nobody that you caught the king's eyes. And the last thing I'm going to cover is Esther took the place of Vashti. Vashti was royalty, and she was the queen, and everyone knew she was the queen. I think that Vashti represents us as Christians who we're familiar with that we're the bride of Christ. We've heard that all of our life, that we're going to heaven. We've heard that we're married and all of this. But like Vashti, we lose interest in the king. And our former righteousness won't help us. She said no to the king, whereas Esther said yes to the king. All right, well, that's all I have.
Okay, we're going to tie this up, and then I'm going to pray for all of the women of the church. But we have a very special presentation this morning. We are going to, Pastor Ken's going to get our mother. She is the founding mother of this church, and we have a presentation for her this morning to honor our mother. And we bless her because if it wasn't for her sacrifice, you would not be sitting here today in this house of worship. They added on to this church. Some of you are sitting in the sides, but we're going to ask them to bring the flowers now. And we want to thank our mother. And so let's stand and honor her. Vanessa and Miriam have flowers. Miriam and Vanessa have these flowers for mom, and we wish they were $1 million, but they're beautiful. And we've got cards. Do you want to say anything, mom?
Almost speechless, but I do want to say thank you very much. This church has been very special to me. We gave our life almost to plant this church. And you don't know how proud I am to come back this many years and see it still going.
Amen.
Well, my name is Muriel, obviously. I wanted her to know that the whole congregation has been praying and also have been holding you up because you are the founding mother of this house, and because you have sacrificed so much to actually build from the bottom up this church. So we like to praise God that he placed you here, that we are here because of you.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Mom's going to receive her flowers, and I'm going to pray now for all the mothers of this congregation. Father God, we come before you this morning for all the women of this church. Father God, we are humbled and we are thankful at your goodness, at your mercy towards us, Father God, when we were yet in sin. You found us, you pursued us, you came and you died on the cross for us. And Father God, we just thank you. We ask, Father God, today that you would use us in your kingdom, Father God, that you would send help from heaven when we need help, Father God, that you would grant us wisdom, Father God, and peace, Father, in times of trouble, Lord. Father God, that you would give us opportunities to speak your word, to comfort others, and to help others. We thank you for your help, the many times you've helped us, and for your healing, and most of all for your love and for the cross. Father, I bless each mother. Father, in Jesus' name, Father God, we just thank you and praise you. Go in peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.